This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The longest tenured Steelers beat writer went on a high-profile national radio program and told us what their plans are for the 2026 NFL Draft. We'll get to that. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Hopefully everyone's getting their power back out there. I read that in some places it's going to be between 5 and 7 days. That really sucks. Thank you for listening to us. Hopefully we can cheer you up. My parents are flirting with staying at my house tonight if their power does not come back. Do you think I need to give them our bed instead of the nasty pull-out bed in the basement?
Yes, you need to give them your bed.
I think so, too. But I didn't think about that. I said, you guys can sleep on the trundle bed or whatever it is downstairs. And my wife was like, "That's they're never going to be able to move. Like, their back, like, it's awful.
Wasn't that a Seinfeld episode?
He'll be.
It was. Yeah. Elaine had to sleep on it. Her back was all screwed up.
He'll come in tomorrow, bet in half.
Yeah.
My back's out of whack.
No, sleep in your bed.
I can't sleep there because I have kyphosis. Right.
That's exactly my play. I got the kyphosis. You think your heart transplant trumps that? It does not. What does sleeping folded up in half have to do with your heart? This just in nothing.
Mm.
Actually, I would not come in tomorrow complaining. I just would simply not come in at all.
Right.
But
he's not coming in tomorrow.
I'm just throwing that out there right now. Actually, I have to do a gala tomorrow night. I'm emceeing a gala. Is it gala or gala?
I don't know.
Gala. I've heard it both ways.
Gala sounds a little bit more.
I'm doing it with Ken Rice from KDKA TV. I was just going to let him say the word, and then I was just going to follow in lockstep with whatever he did.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
Good play.
Yeah. We also were sent the script, and I am again going to allow him to take charge, and I will just follow in.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
That's the best place to be in, though.
The number two chair?
Oh, yeah. I did it with Stocky a couple times. It's the perfect place to be.
Because these guys crush these things.
Yes, they do. They're pros. You just get to... You just be humorous.
I'm going to be whimsical, but I also don't know what the crowd's going to be like, so I have to be mature.
Well, that's why you got to go to the cocktail hour and stuff first.
Feel it out.
You got to feel it out. You got to talk to people. Maybe plan a little. I got a bit. Yeah,
what do you guys think about
see
this?
See what they think.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's bad.
You got to go with the Hillgrove line.
Scared.
You got to go with the Hillgrove line. Hillgrove's best line at these events is he goes, "Been married 50 years. You know the key to a long marriage? Ballroom dancing, twice a week. She goes Tuesdays, I go Thursdays." literally every event that I've been to that he hosts, he uses that. Everyone
dies. They love it. They love it.
She goes Tuesdays, I go Thursdays.
I'm going to use that one. I'm going to butcher it.
And then he goes, "You know the shortest joke in the world? An Irish guy walks out of a bar."
That's a good one, too.
All right, you have a problem that's weather-related. Oh. We're going to get to that in a minute, but you've given me an Irish opening here. Join me, Adam Crowley, True Fan Travel on the adventure of a lifetime. We're taking over Dublin when the Black and Gold play across the pond 5 nights in Ireland. Package includes hotel, airfare, tours of Guinness and Jameson, pep rally, pregame tailgates, and tickets Land-only packages are also available. Space is limited. If you're thinking about making this trip, book now. The guys at True Fan Travel, they know how to do sports trips. This one will be no exception. All the details available on 93.7thefan.com. Your trampoline blew away, Bostic?
It did. So this pales in comparison to those without power or who have had major structural damage to their homes. However, I do need your help. I came home on Tuesday night. The trampoline that Santa got our children this year, which apparently the receipt he gave me, it was like $1,250. It does have a warranty. Our neighbors have they're a little below us on the street, and there's some shrubbery in between our homes. Relatively dense shrubbery. Our trampoline, my wife looked out the window when they came up from the basement. And it was not where it was. So my immediate reaction was, oh my gosh, it went through someone's like living room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it had somehow bounded down the hill, somersaulted, and landed, stuck the landing in my neighbor's yard. Went through the shrubbery, but it's still pretty, there's no way I can pull it back up that hill. And then as you get down there and you see that the trampoline is fully functional, the little girls that lived next to us were very excited. They got a new trampoline, at least temporarily. There's like, not boxwoods, but large landscaping that surrounds that side of the yard. And then there's more trees and the house that there's no way I can get this thing out.
So that's the issue.
So conventional wisdom would be I have to take it apart.
Yes.
Which I do not want to do. I do not want to do this. For many reasons, the first of which is it's a pain in the ass to do. I think if anyone has a crane and would like to come over and lift this thing up and place it back in my yard, I have a full beer fridge.
412-928-9370.
However, I think the right thing to do is probably take the top part off, turn it sideways, and stick it and roll it out the... I was going to go with the rock line.
Stick it in the bushes?
No. And roll it. Then I got to take it up a hill, though.
Wouldn't you have to take off the legs, though, too?
No, legs are like, it's basically two circles connected by legs. So the legs, there's actually a rail that goes around the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Now, the problem is, if I lose control of this thing.
You're going to need help.
It's going down a hill. And it's going down a hill.
You want me to come help you roll it?
No, I got some dads in the neighborhood, but I may have you come over. He heard beer, and maybe I'll smoke some.
I'm not helping him.
You need
maybe
me?
Crowley...
I just heard a great joke. I could tell all your friends. Could keep the morale high while you guys do all the heavy lifting.
You're going to be very, we're going to do this probably Saturday, but you're going to be very worn out from the gala that you're hosting.
I'm going to practice the joke.
How heavy is this? Is it heavy?
It's heavy. It's a few hundred pounds. I can't believe this thing went flying.
If you have a better idea, 412-928-9370, hit us up. So my wife and I have been together for 10 years. You know what the secret is to a happy, healthy marriage? Ballroom dancing. 2 times a week. My wife goes on Tuesdays and I go on Thursdays. Bang! We're in.
Got it.
We are in. I'll tell it to Ken. We'll see what he thinks.
He doesn't like Pony, right? Didn't they get into an argument a couple years ago?
Oh, no.
Did they?
I think so, on Twitter.
Are you sure that wasn't Jeff Frizzella? Jeff Frizzella was getting into it with everybody.
I'm pretty sure it's Ken Rice.
Ken Rice doesn't strike me as a Twitter argument guy.
They got into an argument.
Wow.
Back and forth. They don't like each other.
Wow.
Really?
I don't think so.
I feel like you know what happened.
I forget.
And you just don't want to say it.
No, I forget. I know they went back and forth, though.
He's messing with your head, Crowley.
Ken hasn't tweeted since May 16th, 2016.
Type in pony in Ken Rice.
I'm afraid to do it. I'll do it during the break. In the meantime, Jerry Dulac on how the Steelers view the 2026 draft. He was on with Rich Eisen, NFL Network.
They are all in 2026 on moving up and trying to get what they believe to be their next franchise quarterback, or certainly their starter for a number of years. And so I think their plan all along has been geared that way.
So there you go. As if it wasn't obvious by the way that they drafted, they are looking ahead to the 2026 draft. And by the way, so is everybody else. I mean, clearly, the Giants weren't, the Titans weren't. The Titans had the number one overall pick. It wouldn't have made sense for them to not take Cam Ward. He's a good prospect. But all the other quarterback needy teams did not find their guy in this draft. And so they're all going to be looking for their guy in next year's draft. The Steelers are going to be well positioned. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. They're going to be picking somewhere around 20, and they've got a whole bunch of draft capital that they could use to move up should they deem that necessary, and we all believe that they will. I'm very excited that this time next year we're going to have a quarterback to talk about that they think will be the long-term answer. But, Pat, you've said it enough, and Doran, we've talked about it enough. Like, of course there's no sure thing, and the number one guy in the draft might not even be in the draft in Arch Manning. The guy that's been mocked to the Steelers, the way too early mocks, we're very far out. Drew Aller does nothing for me. If they take Drew Aller, that's 4 years of uh-oh, in my opinion.
Oh, well.
Subject to change.
Right.
Subject to change. But, like, if he had entered in this year's draft, he'd have been the number two quarterback, if not the number one quarterback based on his measurables. And I would have seen nothing up until that point that would make me feel good about picking him one or two. And I think he would have been picked one or two.
Size and arm strength.
Sure. Great. Awesome.
And there are a lot of guys that can, you know, that are better NFL players than they are college players,
yeah,
too. A lot of guys. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, time will tell. I think this year has a lot. That's what we were talking about the other day, how exciting this is going to be. Not only are we going to be looking forward to, and we're probably, what, like 90% sure that the Steelers are going to take a quarterback,
maybe higher. I'm 100% sure, baby.
But it's going to be exciting to be able to watch this football season, to kind of watch these quarterbacks, the 6-7 of them, and to say, oh, the Steelers could pick this guy. So it's making, for me at least, the college football season even more exciting, because the Steelers are going to pick one of the guys that will play on Saturday during the day at 4 and at night every Saturday. So it's going to be exciting.
Be locked in.
Yeah.
Locked in.
Yep.
And right now, Nussmeier is the best, in my opinion, the most proven quarterback in the 26th draft.
Isn't he smaller, though?
He's smaller. His dad's a coach. He's got a rocket arm. He's playing for Brian Kelly, which is not easy to do.
Why?
There's many reasons. Lenore Sellers, to me, like, he has it all. He has it all. The issue is, if he plays really good this year, he's probably going one overall.
He might be one, yeah.
Like, if there's a guy that can, whose ceiling is, he's not even close to his ceiling yet, it's that dude. I mean, he's 6'3", 242, and can move, man.
Yeah.
Like,
he can throw it 80 yards.
He's a, and by all accounts, like, great kid, like, a lot of really positive feedback on him. Arch, I mean, who knows if he's going to come out. Klubnik, I've seen play a couple times. Inconsistent throwing it at times. Very athletic. Trevor, not as talented as Trevor Lawrence, but Trevor Lawrence-esque, being from Clemson. And then, you know, Nico's kind of sabotaged his character. Yeah. Now, if he goes out and kills it for UCLA, this will be a distant memory, the Tennessee thing.
Yes.
And he'll blame bad advice, which he probably got.
Joe Burrow was a transfer. Jalen Hurts was a transfer. This was a different situation, I understand, but NFL teams don't generally care about that kind of thing unless you suck, and then they'll use it against you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Kenny Pickett, oh, he didn't play the bowl game. 20th overall pick. Like, if you're good enough, you're going to get drafted.
Right.
Pat, someone texted in, by the way. Cranes, $100 per hour with a four-hour minimum.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Somebody else says you could just get eight people.
That's what I'm going to do.
And then walk it flat.
We'd have to knock trees over.
Yeah, you can't get it out.
There's another storm today. Perhaps those trees will come down naturally. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Get out there, Pat. Get out there with a shovel. Knock a couple of them trees down.
Yeah, they're not my trees.
And the wind. There's going to be all kinds of storms tonight. I'm reading. Potential hail, potential wind. You go out there, you dig up them trees when no one's looking. Say the wind did it.
Heavy stuff's not coming for a while.
That's right.
Yeah.
That might be
your put plan. Your work in taking the trees down and then bringing the trampoline up instead of just figuring out a way to roll the trampoline.
All right, good retort there by Dorn.
Do extra work.
At that point, you're just digging ditches. That's true. Yeah.
Do extra work.
Let's talk more about these quarterbacks when we come back, because I don't think it's ever too early to talk about the next franchise quarterback and whether or not he's the right guy. They're going to take that guy next year. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Was Big Ben taking a shot at Mulsey? We'll get into that later. Texter writes in, hey, Bostic, I can help you with a buddy of mine. We're painters by trade. We just want to go golfing with you sometime in return. We'll pay for the golf. We can move stuff, too.
Wow. Look at that.
Wow.
There's Mike the painter. He texts things to Starkey.
He paints?
That's even better.
Mm-hmm. Are we thinking this is he like paints? A guy who paints houses he or paints. Like he's Leonardo da Vinci? Yeah. Like you make him out to sound like he's Leo.
Paints houses.
Which, can you believe?
Painting houses like a mob movie means something else. You know that, right?
Really?
You ever watch The Sopranos?
Yeah. Been a while.
Well, you're just like, I mean, it's a front, right?
Like a hitman. Like,
yeah, he's a painter.
I'm going to go paint the house.
Or a cleaner.
Cleaner, I've heard cleaner, like Ray Donovan, you ever see that show?
Yeah, cleaner, painter.
Irish dude in Boston beats the hell out of everyone.
Mm, yeah. Like you.
That's exactly the same. I was going to make a Leonardo da Vinci is a giant walking turtle joke, but I missed the window and we'll have to move on.
Jeez.
Do you guys view Drew Aller the same way I do? I mean, Doran, I know you talk about, he's got a full year, he's got the size, he can move, like he does have all the physical attributes. The thing about Drew Aller for me is, look at the big games. Bad in the big games. Now, his coach is also bad in the big games. And these big games are also against teams with a lot of talent, like Ohio State, who won the national championship last year. Michigan, who won the national championship the year before. I think this year's going to go a long way for him. I'm tired of hearing the excuses that he didn't have any wide receivers. This year, oh, we got it figured out. If he has a bad year then, because all the Penn State people are telling me they've got wide receiver figured out. Okay, stand by that then if he's not good. I don't want to hear it was the wide receiver's fault. And they got a good offensive coordinator. But what we also saw is when that offense moved last year, the ball was in Tyler Warren's hands. A lot of time the ball was being snapped directly to Tyler Warren. So if he's the Steelers' next quarterback, he's been mocked there by PFF, by some other outlets. If it were to happen tomorrow, I wouldn't be excited.
I mean, that's the only thing for me is the big game thing. I mean, if he figures that out this year, then absolutely, I'm all in. But how many big games did Cam Ward win this year? How many big games did Jackson Dart win this year? Like,
Jackson Dart didn't get drafted until he was 26.
Right, they had bad games, I know that. So, I mean, if he could win even one of the big games on the schedule this year, maybe in the playoffs, then I think that he is done and checked that last box. But to me, that's the only box he needs to check.
I would largely agree with that. You can make the argument he lost the Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
Biggest game of the season, one of the biggest games in school history, and he throws a ghastly pick at the end to lose it. Like, Penn State fans will defend this guy when you contextualize it and start talking about him as the potential Steelers quarterback, but whenever you say, hey, why'd you lose the Notre Dame game? How do you feel like Drew played this year? They kill him.
But if he came out this year, where would he have gone?
I think he goes number two.
Right. In this class? Like, I'm surprised he didn't come out.
Me too.
Ole Miss beat Georgia this year, 28-10. Georgia was number two. Here's my problem with Aller. And I felt this way. Like, Andy Koltunicki, their offense coordinator, it is a niche offense.
100%.
It is. they are drawing plays up in the dirt. It is funky. It reminds me of Matt Canada's offense at Pitt. That, and I remember talking to Nate Peterman about this because he played for Jim Chaney prior to, who was a more established NFL-type coach. He goes, I didn't feel like I got better as a quarterback playing for Matt Canada. I felt like plays were open. You got guys open. You used, you know, George Aston and Quadri Henderson in different ways.
College offense.
And got them all open. Correct. Whereas, but you look at games where Aller had to throw in high volume, his completion percentage goes way down.
Yep.
He didn't complete for over 60% in the Big Ten Championship or any three of the playoff games they played in. He also didn't throw for over 200 yards in any of the playoff games. And Boise was a mismatch. But against Notre Dame, he was 12-23 for 135 yards and a pick. And that pick was costly.
Horrendous.
In that game. And if you look at the big games they played all year, Illinois, they win 21-7. He throws for 135 yards on 21 attempts. You play against Ohio State, you go through 146 yards on 20 attempts. So they're not putting the ball in his hands. Now, they have two really good backs.
And they still will.
They have two really good backs and still will. But against really good competition, or when he's had to throw in high volume, it's been inconsistent. The accuracy's been an issue. He's got a big arm, a live arm, he's athletic. If he comes back, and I'll say this right now, I want him to have a good year. Because he could have very easily, Penn State could have very easily said, cut bait and said, get out of here. We're going to get somebody else. You lost us the game. He could have said, I'm going to the league. I don't want to deal with this coming back. He's coming back to face some music. And if he rises to the occasion and becomes the player that his talent could allow him to be, he will have been hardened by that experience.
Yeah,
and exactly. I think it makes him a really good prospect.
Yes,
He has got to prove in those games, not just – play well, but like when he has to throw, when the ball has to be in his hands, like he has yet to go win a game for them. Go win a game. Throw it 45 times and go win it. You play a good team that's going to shut down Singleton in your backfield. Throw it 45 times, complete 68% of your passes, and throw for over 300 because he only did that twice last year. Now, USC.
You don't have to mention the games.
West Virginia.
Yeah. No, he didn't throw. He threw 216 against.
Oh, we got him.
There you go.
309 against Kent State.
Ran a dude over on
now,
the
USC,
line.
Whose defense was putrid, he threw for 391 on 43 attempts, two touchdowns, but he threw three picks in that game. He's got to have one of those games where it's like 28 of 40, 312, and
yes.
Four touchdowns. No
yeah, but
picks.
Can an NFL team identify the reasons he's doing that and then, you know, fix that? With the intangibles he has?
For sure, right?
I would think so. Like, I would think, like, okay, like, let's look at the situations that he's gone in. Why is this happening? Is it his mechanics? Is it his characteristics as a quarterback? Or is it the timing and the system that he's in that things just don't work out? I'm not making excuses.
No.
But I think the intangibles outweigh some of those moments where he doesn't throw for over 300 yards.
Oh, I'll be clear on this. Regardless of what I think. Because if the draft were tomorrow, I wouldn't want this guy to be my franchise quarterback. I don't think it matters. I think if he has the exact same year,
oh yeah,
he's still a top 10 pick.
Yeah. He is.
He's still a top 10 pick. He just wouldn't be for me.
He's probably the second most physically gifted quarterback in the 26 draft.
He's a hoss.
I mean, to Sellers. Sellers is more physically gifted than
yeah.
throwing and running.
When he was on, like when I watched him against West Virginia, and we all watched all the Penn State games. I mean, you guys were on the air for Pitt, but when you could, I'm sure you did. We all watched the Penn State games, our local team. I just wasn't impressed, but the West Virginia games, when I was really locked in, particularly the first game he started in his career, immediately Big Ben came to my mind
mm-hmm.
with the size,
yeah.
the strength, the elusiveness, all of those things. There is another obvious topic here that I want to get to, and that's, can you draft the local guy again? Spoiler alert, it gets pretty negative around here pretty quick. So we'll get into that coming up next. More texts pouring in on how to help Pat Bostic with his trampoline issue. Jerry Dulac on the Rich Eisen show, easy for me to say, says that the Steelers... they got their eye on the 2026 quarterback class. In that class is Drew Aller, Penn State quarterback, made it to the Final Four this year, lost them the game against Notre Dame. PFF has mocked him to the Steelers 14th overall. We don't know where the Steelers will pick. We don't know how these quarterbacks are going to fluctuate up and down draft boards. But right now, Mel Kiper has Drew Aller as the number one quarterback in the draft. You guys happen to remember who he had number one this year?
Shador.
That's right. Those could not be more different prospects, the two of those guys, Shador Sanders and Drew Aller. The question, though, is I think a broader one here. Can you go local again? Because there were reasons to believe in Kenny. That preseason, he was outstanding. He also went 14-10 as a starter. And I think even Kenny haters would have to admit that that was not exactly a wonderful position to succeed with the offensive coordinator and the dearth of weapons that they had on that side of the ball. But I feel like on social media, our text line, calls, in-game with crowds, the criticism far outweighed the performance by Kenny. Again, 14-10, was clutch, made a lot of plays in fourth quarters, and yet I feel like it reached critical mass on Kenny before it would have reached critical mass on other non-Pitt quarterbacks. And there are as many, if not more, Penn State fans, Penn State supporters in Allegheny County as there are Pitt fans. Can you go local again? Or does it reach critical mass too soon and you're setting a guy up to be in a position to fail?
I don't think you can at all. I don't think you can. Because one thing about anybody, really, as an adult, you try to learn from your mistakes. And I think that in a situation like this where they're going to draft a young quarterback to be their franchise quarterback for the second time in, what, 3 years, like you want to absolutely put them in the best position possible to succeed. And they didn't do that with Kenny, and I think they would acknowledge that if you gave them true serum.
Yes.
That would be maybe not the number one reason why they wouldn't do it, but it's on the list of a reasons why that they would not do it. Because they know exactly what's behind that door that awaits Drew Aller as soon as he's drafted is the flip side of what happened to Kenny. I do believe that. I do believe that he would get so much pressure put upon him, even maybe more than Kenny at this point, because you're redoing it.
Well, I think Pitt fans had to deal with, and I think Penn State fans and West Virginia fans, with the Kenny thing. And if Drew Aller so much as throws an interception, you're gonna want your revenge.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what's behind the door.
Absolutely. If I'm a Pitt fan, I'm furious at the way that Penn State fans and rumors and crap that was out there. If I'm a Pitt fan, I'm gonna go even harder against Drew Aller. Honestly, that's just me as a non-Pitt fan.
But I do think there's a difference. I think that the narrative immediately upon Kenny getting drafted to the Steelers was that he was, they reached for him. Like, he wasn't a first round talent. I don't think that anybody will say that Drew Aller isn't a first round talent. So I think he will enter the situation with more benefit of the doubt from the public that, yeah, he's a top 10 player. He's been mocked a top 10 player. This class is being said to be good. And I think, right, if he's the best player available at the time, you're going to have a hard time not taking him. Now, again, I think that the perception will be that you're getting the best player available. I don't think you would say that about Kenny at the time. I think people were generally surprised they took him. They took him at 21. At what was it, 21?
20.
In the 22 draft. I think they were surprised. I think it would be lauded to get Drew Aller at 14 or 13 in the 26th draft. So I think that perspective's different. However, given that, if he comes in and performs, people will love him. If he comes in and doesn't perform, then it's, quite frankly, more of an epic failure. Because he's supposed to, like, everyone thought Kenny was overdrafted. They're going to think this guy is the savior. And there are a lot of Penn State fans that will prop him up and pump him up. And the fall will be, it'll be a steeper fall if he doesn't perform, in my opinion, because the expectations, frankly, will be higher. And there's more years of mediocre quarterback play between
right.
him and Ben Roethlisberger than Ben Roethlisberger and Kenny. Kenny was in a very tough situation. I'm not defending him. He didn't play good enough at times.
He followed a legend. And there was the whole Marino thing.
A Hall of Famer. And I don't know how much that stuff played. Because when you're in that war room, man, you're looking at a player and you're, you know, nameless gray face, right? It's not all that because you want to get to know the person. But, you know, there have been great Steelers that have been Penn State fans. They haven't been Penn State players, rather. I mean, Jack Ham, one of the best ever. Now, quarterback's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely different. But if he's the best player available at that point in time and you grade him the highest and you know him and you have his, you know his DNA and you understand how he thinks and how he processes, you take him and you deal with the other stuff.
You think it's worth it?
You plan for success. You got to plan for success. I don't think you can – this is where Tomlin's line, you don't live in your fears, comes to play. Like, I don't think you can plan – if you're thinking that he could fail, then – you don't take him at 14 because he's not good enough, not because he went to Penn State.
Right.
If you think he can be a great player and you've determined he can be a great player, it doesn't matter where he went to school is where I'm at. Now, it will get hot.
It'll get hot quick.
It will, but it'll get hot anyway, man. It's Pittsburgh.
Sure.
You're supposed to win. So you got to deal with it.
Pitt fans texting in, here's one. We would give him the exact same treatment, eye for an eye. These teams aren't playing on the football field. That's because of Penn State not wanting to play on the football field. Do we have to wage the war at Acrisure Stadium with our beloved black and gold team? I don't know. I was just sort of thinking as you guys were talking, like, as a radio host, we have a lot of time between now and then. I don't even know what I want. Like, do I want to deal with all that? You can make an argument to be good for us. It'll be good for us either way, though, if it's Lenora Sellers or whomever. But I don't know if I want to go back into fighting with everybody on the internet. We might do it again anyway because it's quarterback and it's the franchise guy. But it got negative up in here.
Yeah. I honestly think, though, this time around, it'll, like Pat said, that it would be a serious pitfall. But I think that it could level out if he did play very well. Like, I think that stuff would go away if he went out there and he performed.
Yeah, if he goes out and wins, people... Steelers fans who are Pitt fans, Steelers fans who are West Virginia fans to a lesser extent, they're just caring about their black and gold winning. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think there are some circumstantial things that would make this a better situation for Drew Aller. But the expectations will nonetheless be very high for him. And if you're the 14th overall pick or the 10th overall pick, they're gonna be high regardless, but it's Pittsburgh too. Like, so, but if you're picked that high, you better be built for that. Like that's what you got. It's a cauldron, man. You got to deal with it.
Built different, Doran.
Got to be.
Texter, I just have to read this one. It's too good. Crowley is an idiot. Should we go local again? Dan Marino, Joe Namath, Bill Kelly. Duh.
Bill Kelly.
Guess I'm an idiot. Now, should have remembered Bill Kelly.
Now you know what an ideal scenario is?
Bill Kelly.
Will Howard plays really good in the preseason, and you feel decent about him moving forward, then what do you do?
That, I still think you draft.
I do too, and so that's it's funny you say that, because we're getting there's Penn State and Pitt people all up in the text saying all kind of myriad of things, but the next thing I'm getting a lot of is, Will Howard's better than both.
Will Howard's a better quarterback right now than Drew Aller.
National champion. Big Ten. Beat him. Head to head.
So Drew Aller's got some rungs to climb on the ladder. Potential, definitely there, but they're both big, physically gifted players. It's just low. Like, it's what it is, man. It's what it is at this point.
That's what makes this so fascinating,
though. Now, they go out and have a good year this year and draft 27th or 26th, which I'm, you know, dreaming a little bit here, but you're going to move up 17 spots?
No, and as a texter, Mike from Scoops, we were just at Scoops getting ice
cream.
Love
Scoops.
Great place. Right by your house.
Oh, right up the hill.
Right up the hill from that trampoline that was blown away by the storm. Maybe it'll blow back tonight, someone else texted in. But Mike from Scoops said, I can't have too many damn Drew Aller texts.
You lost it.
Extra third and fourth round picks won't help the Steelers move up in next year's first round to get a quarterback. Jacksonville gave up next year's one to move up three spots this year. It's a good point and something we'll actually get into at the top of the next hour. But up next, what the hell's going on with Bill Belichick? Oh, what in the world, Bill, is going on? Happy brought this up, Pat. Today's a great walk around your house with the windows open and your shirt off kind of day.
Yeah.
And I mean, those windows,
close those windows quick if a storm rolls in.
For sure. If you don't have power, it's big time shirtless territory because it's going to get up to 83, I think, today. Going to be piping hot. Fit what?
Nothing.
You're tired of my nonsense?
Just do you. Like I said the other day, we're living in your world.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. I would rather be no one in this world than me. I get to come in every day, work with you guys, ride the coattails of an All-American NFL star, and I just get to say goofy stuff into a microphone. It's pretty good. I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow with Ken Rice. Ken, you take the heavy lifting, pal. I'll make a stupid joke every now and then. We'll get home by 11:30. We'll be good.
You could be Bill Belichick.
Yeah, so what the frig is going on there?
Listen.
She wanted creative control over Hard Knocks, Doran.
Yep. I mean, I have a theory that I'm not going to say on air that I've told you before, but very odd for somebody that ran his organization for how many years, like the White House. Like, it was, like, you couldn't even walk. You had to walk a certain way when you were walking the building. And now this is, like, it's weird. He's whipped.
So he's wearing a tattered Navy shirt.
That's right.
She's wearing a Navy shirt. He's the head football coach at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. She's telling him what to say.
Yeah.
He's won 6 Super Bowls.
More if you go back to the time as the Giants DC.
He's a 6-time Super Bowl winning head football coach. And he's being told what to do and looking over and seemingly just wanting, like, for approval.
It's crazy.
Was she 24?
Something like that, yeah. It's crazy.
North Carolina is now reportedly concerned about her control. You signed, I mean, I think they were a thing prior to.
Sure.
They didn't think that they'd be a thing, though.
What boggles my mind is, have you been to Chapel Hill?
No.
We have.
Yes.
I know guy I work with is a North Carolina graduate. It is a very, it's a great school, like elite school. Very preppy, right? Southern. They win the Director's Cup for success in every sport. Basketball's been not quite up to snuff lately. And you hire this? You have this going on? Your football program is a sideshow.
Are we starting to doubt whether he can win or not?
I don't know, man. Like,
I don't know. Seems like it's that drastic which could very well not win football games.
Better to watch? Like, I think it would be, I don't want him to be successful because obviously that would impact Pitt. But I think it'd be better for TV and radio for it to be just a dumpster fire.
And Pitt doesn't play North Carolina this year.
No, they don't.
That is a huge disappointment.
It is starting. I mean, the fire is been lit. It's just a matter of if it gets to the trash can or not.
He's probably one and done.
It's looking not good. And here's the thing I can't wrap my head around. Like, she seems very intelligent, right? And it's not that she would be intelligent. It's surprising to me, but like, I didn't have Jack figured out at 24 years old.
Nothing.
You are the winningest head coach in terms of Super Bowls in the history of the NFL. And if you were, if you still coach, you'd be the winningest all-time coach in the history of the NFL. You are a football genius, which means you are a genius. And you have handed over your life and your decision-making to a 24-year-old?
Like, I see what you're saying.
Because of the sex?
Well, Let me try to make some sense of this right now, going through my head. Bill Belichick, he is not savvy outside of football.
Okay.
He's not savvy, and he knows that. And that's how he's been operating for years, is not even caring about being savvy. You've listened to his interviews. He just doesn't.
Insta-chat and yes, face. Yeah. Like,
he doesn't. He's all football. But now he's in a situation where he knows he needs to be savvy outside of football because of recruiting and because of NIL and transfer portal. In his mind, he's brilliant, but also I think he's very practical. Like, he's like very cut and dry. He's a very dry humor person too. Like, he's like, yeah, black, white, but in a genius sense. I think honestly, in his mind, he's like, I have a 24-year-old girlfriend. She can relate better to anybody and to the students, student athletes that are coming in here and make me look like I'm, and she could project that better than I could. So I'm going to let her do it. She's going to talk for me and do everything for me outside of what football brings.
You have CBS now releasing statements about how the interview went down. You've got reports that North Carolina, as has just previously been mentioned, they're concerned that she has too much say. Just let's fast forward 15 years. I need the 30 for 30. I need it.
Well, he's promoting a book.
Right.
He's never done anything like this before.
No, so it's...
it's very odd behavior.
For someone that's been so laser-focused for so long, it seems like someone who's very distracted.
A little bit.
And... now, I have no doubt looking at their staff, you have Freddie Kitchens as their offensive coordinator, NFL guy, his son. Have you seen the little clips of his son, like when he watches a play? He looks like he's, you know, just like humming. Like he's on something. They're going to be schemed up. Like they're going to be.
Of course.
They're going to be well coached. The question is it such a like reality TV show that it doesn't work?
I'm fixing to find out. Here's a text. Steelers got dog walked by a simp for almost 2 decades.